معكم اللعين أساس مرانا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وانا we start and we speak about the life of مولانا قاسم سيما رحمة الله عليه, and obviously it will be inshallah going on for the next few weeks. مولانا, you want to start at the beginning and telling us what will we be doing and what's the way forward.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مولانا, you are doing this ulama profiles. It's absolutely a wonderful program. May Allah reward you and all those involved. In regards to مولانا قاسم سيما, what we thought is that we would discuss his life and as much as possible from the inception, from the time he began his primary education, he went abroad, he came back, what he did, the different ventures that he undertook, and ultimately the fact that he opened the Darul Uloom Newcastle, and we'll go on there. So it will take a few sessions, inshallah, to cover quite a few years. مولانا سيما lived almost 90 years.
Subhanallah.
We'll try and encapsulate it in a few sessions, inshallah.
Inshallah. Maulana, let's start at the beginning with the life of Maulana, and from the very initial stages, Maulana's birth, and where did Maulana originate from, Maulana?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. You know, Maulana Qasim Muhammad Sima rahimahullah, you asked when he was born. He was born on the 12th of May 1920. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
It's always amazing that Darul Uloom actually opened on the 13th of May, but others say the 15th of May, but we know it opened on the 13th of May, and I myself was born on the 16th of May, but let's leave me out of it many, many years later, of course. Maulana Sayyid Masahid Rahimullah was born on the 12th of May, 1920. And alhamdulillah, he was somewhat always interested in Islamic studies. His parents were very, very Islamically inclined. So a child growing up in an Islamically inclined family will always love to read Quran. Even today, you'll find that if parents put music on, the child will wake up and he will start singing music, even though he doesn't understand the languages or the words. And if you put Qirat on, he will hymn the sounds and the tunes of Quran. So Maulana Sayyid Masahid Rahimahullah, being from a family which was very Islamically inclined, at the age of 5, he began his career towards an amazing Islamic and hadith and sharia aspects and career, mashallah. Ala kulli hal, so at the age of 5, he began his studies in the madrasa. His parents, without many much option, academically, they put him at the St. Oswald School, which still runs till today. The St. Oswald School, mashallah, is a very old school, but this was the school that runs the academic education in Newcastle, and as I repeat, it still runs till today. So this was the only school that allowed Indian citizens or Indian people, to students, to attend. So the students used to go to, the Indian students used to go to St. Oswald's, and also they were restricted from going further than a standard 6. They could not get anywhere further than a standard 6 here in Newcastle. Maulana Sayyid Rahimullah had told me when I asked him that what about other places in the country, he had said that, look, one being very difficult for us to get there because we're from a poor family, and Indians at that time generally wouldn't have been able to afford to go to bigger centers. But by and large, an Indian citizen in this country could not obtain a qualification higher than the standard 6, a grade 8 of today. So he studied that. And Islamically, of course, he studied much more.
Ji, Maulana, where was Maulana based in his initial years when Maulana was still very young? Which area?
All in Newcastle.
Newcastle. Maulana was born all in Newcastle.
If you come to Newcastle, Maulana Sema used to actually tell us, for those of you who know Newcastle, he used to say that where the current Asmal's store is, then that is where his homestead used to be. And then when group areas came, they moved them out and put them in other places. And this is central town today, totally very, very valuable. And this is what I've understood. Basically, this is the exact location around that area where Maulana Sayyid Rahimahullah was born and was nurtured and grew up.
Maulana, after Maulana's finishing, obviously, the initial stages of school, thereafter Maulana then decided to move on. What was Maulana's way forward after Maulana finished the initial years of his academy?
I would actually stop there and let's just go back a little bit.
Okay.
Look, even though we have, whilst going to school, he would go to madrasa. And in those days in our country, Allah bless our elders as well and our forefathers, that they always had deen at heart and they always would be ulama coming from India. Obviously, we've been from India. And they would come and they would teach in the Urdu language and they would educate us. So they would be madrasas. And Maulana Sema Rahimullah says that his first teacher was Maulana Hafiz Shamsuddin of Baroda. He had many, many ustads. Many ustads would come, some would go. This ustad taught in Newcastle for 3 years, and then he left. But for the full duration of this duration, Maulana Sema Rahimullah studied under him. Then Maulana Sema had another ustad called Maulana Abdul Sattar of Porbandar. And Maulana Sema used to say that this man was a master calligrapher. So he also learned by him. Then there was a Hafiz Patel, and then a Maulana Ali Ahmed Ansari. And all of these ulama who came to Newcastle, alhamdulillah, and used to teach the local masses, and Maulana Sema Rahimullah was part of the students who would go to madrasa. And what used to happen is he actually became singled out amongst all the students for his excellence in Islamic studies. So he began memorizing Quran already. And if some alim were to come or some program were to be held, they'll say, "Where is Muhammad Qasim Sima? Let him come and he'll read the Qiraat."
Subhanallah.
And from a young age, he would be called to recite because he knew some surahs, he knew to recite them well. And already he was called out and, you know, alhamdulillah, singled out for this. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He began memorizing Urdu as well. Maulana Sema Rahimullah, his memory was phenomenal. When I sat with him to do his biography, he must have been in his late 70s, early 80s. And he would remember everything. He would remember names, he'll remember dates, he'll remember places. You ask him even a Nahum question, he will tell you where he studied it, which ustad taught him, and how he taught it to him. So at this young age also, he studied, while memorizing Quran, he memorized chapters of Talim ul-Haq, he memorized the Urdu books, and he memorized a lot, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. After Maulana being studied by the initial ustads of Hafiz Shamsuddin, Maulana Abdul Sattar, where would Maulana then further his studies, Maulana Akko?
Then what happened was, actually, Maulana Sema Rahimahullah told, and he said that what happened was, the people of the town of Newcastle knew that they've got a star amongst them. And with that, he'd come from a background that could not afford to further his studies.
Okay.
So they offered to sponsor him.
Okay.
Being a young person. And whatever he wanted to study. So this being in his mind and his family's mind. But what had happened thereafter, Maulana Mia Rahimahullah of Waterfall Islamic Institute.
All right.
Of Mia's farm. He had come to Newcastle and he was giving a bayan once about encouraging people to study deen and to study Islamic sciences and to undertake Islamic studies. And Maulana Sema Rahimullah was taken by this as well, and it had a good and a very, very good effect on him. And Maulana Mia Rahimullah had a discussion with this young lad. At that point, Maulana Sema Rahimullah said he was about 15 years old or 14 years old. That when Maulana Mia came, Maulana Mia had a grown-up discussion with him. And I told him in that, look, the people of the town here are willing to sponsor you and are willing to send you and to allow you to study what you want to study. So you can go and become a doctor. And let me pause and tell you this, that in the old days, if you became a doctor, you became everything. 50 years ago, a doctor from our people, from the Indian community, a person that became a doctor, he was, close to being exalted. He was high. People wanted their children to become doctors because they would see money. People wanted their children to be educated. Here, it's a poor family. It's a family that now has got a brain, a child, who they could have aspirations fulfilled. They could have the child going and becoming a medical doctor or becoming a physician or whatever it may be in terms of dunyawi productivity. And financially, they would be secure. However, Maulana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah listened to Maulana Mia's advice. of Mullah Mir's advice, he said, look, you can become a doctor, no doubt. But remember, and he jovially said this, and he said that if you do become a doctor, you will be testing the urine of people all your life. However, if you become an alim, you'd be guiding people all your life.
Allah.
However, Mawlana Sayyidina Rahimahullah listened to all the advices, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Mawlana Sayyidina Rahimahullah at this tender age, his family members there. I always, actually, one is Mawlana Sayyidina Rahimahullah taking the cudgels and going forward, but his parents as well, because in those days, a father wanted his child to become something in terms of productivity in dunya, so that he and the whole family can benefit from this. And them being a poor family, this would have been the first prize. But they all allowed him, and they all, not only allowed him, but they encouraged him to go and study Islamic studies. And wallah, when you become a Mawlana, I tell this to the Darulum students also, you cannot ever think you're going to come here for financial gain. You will survive because Allah Ta'ala is Razak. But there is no financial gain. And doing this, to go and study for 10 years and 15 years overseas with all the sacrifices, wallahi, only Allah will reward. So yes, so he had taken up this advice, and he had said, okay, look, I want to go and I want to study abroad. And once he said this, then the town together started organizing his documentation, because now passports need to be sorted out and all the paperwork. And accompanied with his, by his father, Mawlana Sayyidina Sahib left Newcastle on the 23rd of September in 1935.
Mawlana, before we go in, I just want to ask you, this Mawlana Mia Sahib, would this be Mufti Ahmed Mia and their father?
The father?
Father, okay. I was just
the father.
Okay. So Mawlana left in Newcastle 23rd of May.
23rd of May, 1935. How many years ago is that? SubhanAllah. They headed for Durban because we're doing no flights, but it was all to do with the sea coast, so we're going to the sea. And where they waited in Durban now, waiting for the ships to come, and they waited for the ship now to take him to India. Mawlana Sayyidina Sahib at this point is just barely 15 years old.
Allahu Akbar.
Mawlana Sayyidina Sahib, while staying in, they stayed in Durban with their family, and he clearly remembers, we stayed with the family of Dr. Harun Amin's wife's family. Dr. Harun Amin's wife's family. You know, Dr. Harun Amin was a fantastic doctor. Allah in general to those who hisab. He would never charge the ulama. He wasn't just a doctor. He was a, what you would call it, a specialist physician. And he really looked after the ulama in Newcastle, always came to Darulum and had great affinity to Darulum. May Allah grant him general to those who hisab. So when they resided in Durban waiting for the boat or the ship, they resided at Dr. Amin's wife's family. And then they waited after a sad farewell, and I mean, after many days now, and now the ship is coming. So Mawlana Sema remembers, and he says, after a very, very sad farewell to his father, the ship left the Durban harbor and they continued the journey. And the journey continued and continued for one solid month.
Allah.
So, on the boat, moving, seasick, this sick, that sick. But they continued, and they arrived in India on the 23rd of October, 1935, exactly 1 month later.
Allah Akbar.
And Mawlana Sahib, I do know that you have another program coming up in a few minutes. If you wanted to, we could continue next week. And if you wanted to, we could carry on into Dabel. What do you feel?
Well, inshallah, what we do, we've covered the first leg of Mawlana's life, inshallah. Next week when we speak when we carry on from Mawlana's life in Dabel, and we see how far it will take us, inshallah.
Perfect. Well, Allah give you barakah and khair.
Ameen, you as well, inshallah. Jazakallah so much for taking your time out this evening, Mawlana.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Mawlana Akusab, the principal of Darul Uloom, Newcastle. And Mawlana was giving us information, explaining to us, and Mawlana was telling us with regards to the life of Mawlana Qasim Sema. We're doing it, inshallah, for a period of about 6 weeks. We would like to cover the entire life of Mawlana. And when we say the entire life, by no means is it a short life. Mawlana was over the age of 90, and by no means was it an ordinary life. It was an extraordinary and amazing life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the reality, the understanding, the knowledge of what the seniors have done for us to be able to witnessing radio stations, Darul Ulooms, madrasas, masajid, is all the qurbani, the sacrifices of our seniors that had come before us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the qabrs with nur. May Allah grant them the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah reward their families well, for they had also made the sacrifice. And those that are alive, may Allah grant them long life. May Allah grant them good health. May Allah grant them happiness in their life, inshaAllah ta'ala.